animated cartoon Royal Blue Tapestry provides a backdrop for a monument that rises from a stone base. On top of the stone, stuck point first in an anvil, a gleaming sword rises. A title appears, The Sword in the Stone. The sword fades away and a repeated pattern of golden crowns appears, scattered on a brownish-green backdrop modeled like marble. A clover leaf adorns each crown point. The image dissolves to a deep blue background overlaid with pale blue filigree leaves. A coat of arms features a shield striped on the diagonal, topped by the bust of a figure wearing a turban-shaped roundlet hat. Mottled golden rust-colored patterns suggest the faint outline of a unicorn. In a rough painting on a stony surface, a gold mark streaks through the purple contour of an animal with scales. A key lies near the open lock on an embossed book with metal hinges. The title reads, The Sword in the Stone. The book opens to multicolored words illustrated with musical notes and a medieval minstrel who holds a stringed lute. The text reads, A legend is sung.
A legend is sung of when England was young, and knights were brave and bold. The good king had died, and no one could decide who was rightful heir to the throne. It seemed that the land would be torn by war, or saved by a miracle alone. And that miracle appeared in London town. The sword.
An illustration shows a crown around the gleaming sword.
And below the hilt, in letters of gold, were written these words. Whoso pulleth out this sword of this stone and anvil is rightwise king, born of England. Though many tried for the sword with all their strength, none could move the sword nor stir it. So the miracle had not worked. And England was still without a king. And in time, the marvelous sword was forgotten.
Vines curl up the stone and around the sword, stuck point first in the anvil.
This was a dark age. Without law and without order.
In a forest.
Men lived in fear of one another. For the strong preyed upon the weak.
Nestled in the shadows of jagged trees, a dark wolf with red eyes looks up at a squirrel as it runs to the end of a branch. A bird of prey swoops in, its talons extended. The squirrel ducks as the bird skims its head. The squirrel scampers up the branch into a hole in the trunk. Deeper into the gnarly forest, arching limbs frame a clearing where an old man with a long white beard works alone in a small well. Wearing a blue robe and a tall pointy hat, he tugs a chain through a pulley.
A dark age indeed. Age of inconvenience. No plumbing. No electricity. No nothing.
He reaches for a water bucket and tips over the wall of the well.
Hang it all.
He pulls himself up, yanking the bucket and drenching his face.
Oh, now what? Now what?
He hops around to free his ankle from the dragging chain.
You fiendish chain, you! Everything complicated. One big medieval mess.
He enters a cottage and pours water into a kettle on the cooking fire, surrounded by piles of books and beakers filled with colorful liquids.
Now, let me see. He should be here in, I'd say half an hour.
Who?
A brown owl.
Who? I'd like to know who.
I told you, Archimedes, I am not sure. All I know is that someone will be coming. Someone very important.
Pin feathers.
Fate will direct him to me so that I, in turn, may guide him to his rightful place in the world.
And you say he will arrive in half an hour?
The man sits at a table.
Well, we'll just see.
And you will, Archimedes, you will.
He scowls through round wire glasses at the owl.
He'll be, a boy. Small boy, 11, 12 years old, and a scrawny little fella.
He imagines a muscular man.
Oh, no, 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 that can't be the one. Surely not. Why, that big lad must be close on to 20.
A boy wearing a tunic and leggings hops over a wall.
This scrawny little fellow, about 12. He's a regular little grasshopper. Here, look at him go.
Archimedes frowns.
And where would you guess he is at this very moment?
I am not guessing, Archimedes. I know where he is. Less than a mile from here, just beyond the forest. And right on schedule, if all goes well.
The boy and the muscular man.
Quiet, Wart.
I'm trying to be.
And nobody asked you to come along in the first place.
I'm not even moving.
Shut up.
Scanning the forest, the hunter spots a deer.
Here we go. Oh, what a
He pulls
setup.
An arrow from his quiver and puts it in the bow.
Right smack through the old gizzard.
The boy leans out from a branch and tumbles down onto the man, whose arrow flies far from the deer.
Why, you clumsy little fool!
Okay, please, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
The man chases him, swinging the bow, then trips as the boy runs into the forest.
If I ever get my hands on you, I'll wring your scrawny little neck, so help me, I will!
I'll get the arrow, okay? I'm sure I can find it.
The man stops at the edge of the forest.
Oh. Don't tell me you're going in there. Oh, why, it's swarming with wolves.
I'm not afraid.
He runs in farther.
Well, go ahead. It's your skin, not mine. Go on, go on.
Deeper in the forest, the canopy of leaves darkens the daylight to a ghostly blue. On a flat rock, the boy looks around, then hops down and runs on. A skinny wolf chews a bone, then spits it out when the boy trips. The scruffy animal slinks after the boy, who pushes a tree limb out of his way, then lets it go, knocking the wolf off his path. The spindly-legged boy weaves through a thicket, then breaks into a smile as he spots the hunter's arrow stuck in a high branch.
There it is. Oh, there it is.
As he climbs the tree, the wolf sneaks in and snaps at his feet. The boy steps on a branch that snaps off. Grabbing a higher branch, he hangs above the wolf, who catches the broken limb in his open mouth. The boy moves on, and the wolf spits out the broken limb. As the boy shimmies up a craggy branch, the wolf keeps pace, staying just below him with an open mouth. The boy reaches for the arrow and falls.
Whoa, what?
He drops through the thatched roof of the bearded man's cottage and lands in a chair.
Well, so you did drop in for tea after all.
He checks his watch.
Oh, you are a bit late, you know.
Oh, I am?
Liquid in a beaker bubbles.
Now, my name is Merlin.
As Merlin fixes tea, the boy looks around.
Oh, my name's Arthur, but everyone calls me Wart.
Oh.
Oh, what a perfect stuffed owl.
I beg your pardon?
He's alive, and he talks.
And certainly a great deal better than you do.
He flies to his house.
Oh, come, Archimedes. Come now. I want you to meet the wart. Now you must forgive him. He's only a boy.
Arthur holds up a cup of tea for the owl.
I see no boy.
The owl grabs the tea.
Oh, I'm sorry that I...
That's all right. He's much too sensitive. Sensitive? Huh? Who? What?
Oh. Arthur and Merlin sit.
How did you know that I
would... Oh, that you would be dropping in? Well, I happen to be a wizard, a soothsayer, a prognosticator. I have the power to see into the future. Centuries into the future! I've even been there, lad. And I've seen all these things.
Merlin shows Arthur a train engine the size of a toy.
Of course, you know. Now, this, for instance, is a steam locomotive.
As he pours kettle water in the train, smoke drifts from its stack. The engine rolls across the table.
There she goes. Pretty good, eh?
Arthur's eyes widen as the train bumps into his teacup. He turns the engine around and sends it back.
That won't be invented for hundreds of years.
Oh, you mean you can see everything before it happens?
Yes, everything.
Everything, Merlin?
No, not everything. I admit I didn't know whom to expect for tea. But as you can see, I figured the exact place.
You're very clever, sir.
Yes. Well, never mind the sir. Just plain Merlin will do. Now, would you care for sugar?
Oh, yes, I would. Please.
All right. Sugar? Sugar?
The sugar bowl, holding its own spoon, hops to Merlin's teacup.
No, manners. Guests first, you know that.
The bowl hops to Arthur and spoons sugar in his cup.
All right. Say when, lad.
When?
Merlin heads to his books.
Have you had any schooling?
Oh, yes.
He eats cookies.
I'm trained to be a squire. I'm learning the rules of combat and swordsmanship and jousting and horsemanship.
The bowl dumps spoonfuls of sugar in Merlin's cup.
No. I mean a real education. Mathematics, history, biology, natural science, English, Latin, French.
The sugar piles high.
When? Blast it all, when?
The bowl hides behind the teapot.
Impudent piece of crockery.
Merlin brushes the sugar off the table with his beard.
Boy, now you can't...
He wags a finger and the chair walks over. Merlin sits with a pile of books.
You can't grow up without a decent education, you know.
Oh, I suppose not, sir. Merlin.
So, I am going to be your tutor.
But I've got to get back to the castle. They'll want me in the kitchen.
Oh, well then, very well. We'll pack and be on our way.
Merlin opens a satchel and Archimedes frowns. At the door, Arthur watches Merlin tap his wand.
Hicketus figgetus summa kazing.
He raises his hands.
I want your attention, everything.
Objects turn to face him.
We're packing to leave. Come on, let's go. No, not you. Books are always first, you know.
Merlin's books rise and march through the air.
Pockety, pockety, wackety, whack. Abracadabra-dabra-nack. Shrink in size, very small. We've got to save enough room for all.
Dozens of books shrink and float into his open satchel. Books fly up from beneath the feet of Archimedes, who throws out his wings to balance. Cups, saucers, and spoons rise up, then the sugar bowl. Table settings, bottles, and knives follow the books, then all collide midair.
Now stop. See here, sugar bowl, you're getting rough. That poor old tea set is cracked enough.
The bowl jams a spoon into the teapot.
All right, let's start again. Where was I, boy?
Hockety pockety?
Oh, yes, that's right. Pockety, pockety, wackety.
In the floating stream of stuff, Archimedes dodges a drawer, a vase, and a spinning globe, then scoots into his birdhouse. As the house drifts down to the satchel, he flies back out.
You bungling blockhead! Hey, easy there. No.
Furniture circles Merlin. Sitting in a chair, Arthur floats through the air. The table, a painter's easel, the stuffed chair all shrink and drift down into the satchel, which snaps shut.
What a way to pack.
They stand in an empty cottage.
Well, now, just a minute, boy. How else would you get all this stuff into one suitcase, I'd like to know?
Oh, but I think it's wonderful.
Oh.
As Archimedes scowls from a rafter, Merlin heads out.
Don't you get any foolish ideas that magic will solve all your problems. Because it won't.
But, sir, I don't have any problems.
The wolf peeks around a tree.
Everybody's got problems. The world is full of problems.
Merlin closes his beard in the door.
Oh, blast it all. There, now you see what I mean.
He yanks out his beard and it circles his head. He tugs it free, then it snaps over his face. Arthur hides a smile and follows as Merlin strides off. Archimedes flies along, trailed by the wolf.
Everybody butting their heads against a brick wall, all muscle and no mentality. Do you want to be all muscle and no brain?
I don't have any muscle.
No, you don't? Well, how do you move about?
Oh, I suppose I do have a little.
Aha, there, you see? Well, that's enough. Now develop your brain, knowledge, wisdom. There's the real power. Higher learning.
Merlin leaps a chasm. Arthur follows as the wolf snaps at his heels.
So, first thing tomorrow morning, we'll start a full schedule. 8 hours a day. We'll have 6 hours for schoolroom and 2 for study period.
Merlin skis on his blue slippers across a pond. Arthur bounces after.
I have page duties.
Page duties? Ha!
The wolf skids into the water and hits a rock.
That way we'll change all that. There's got to be a shake-up.
Well, yes, sir.
Arthur loosens a boulder as they climb a hill. The panting wolf gapes and flees. It runs frantically down to the pond and ducks as the boulder soars overhead.
In medieval times, you have got to know where you're going. Don't you?
Yes, sir.
Merlin crests a tall hill.
So, you must plan for the future, boy. You've got to find a direction. And you...
Merlin scans the landscape.
Now, by the by, what direction is this castle of yours?
I think it's north, the other way.
As Merlin starts off, Archimedes falls from the wizard's hat.
All right, then we better get a move on. Come on, lad. Pick up the pace. Pick it up.
As they scamper down the hill, the wolf labors to the top of it, heaving with exhaustion. He spots Merlin downhill, hopping from stone to stone across the pond, followed by Arthur. The wolf's eyes cross as he drops to the ground. Nighttime. Dark trees frame a stone castle down below. An upstairs window emits a warm orange glow. A big man with a dagger hanging from his tunic belt paces in a cavernous room.
The devil take it. Anyone's got better sense than to go barging off in that infernal forest alone. You had no business letting him go.
Look, Dad.
The hunter.
I'm not the wart's keeper.
Well, blast it all, I am. After all, I took him in. Adopted the lad, you might say. Being his foster father, well, I'm responsible.
Two dogs race over to Arthur, knock him down, and lick his face. Merlin enters with Archimedes perched on his tall hat.
Tiger, Talbot, off with you! Now look here, wart. What's the big idea of gallivanting off in the woods and worrying the living daylights out of everybody?
I'm sorry, sir.
Well, sorry's not enough. That's 4 demerits, 4 hours extra kitchen duty. Hey, report to the cook!
But, sir, I'd like you to meet...
Go on, hop it, boy! Hop it!
Arthur runs downstairs.
Yes, you've got to keep a tight schedule to run a big place like this. Need strict rules, especially for small boys.
And I most certainly agree.
Who are you?
He eyes Archimedes and the wizard.
You.
My name is Merlin. This is Archimedes, the highly educated owl.
Educated owl? Say, that's a good one.
Archimedes roosts on a mounted deer head.
Say, I know. You've got him under a spell, Marvin. You're a magician. Hmm?
The name is Merlin. And I happen to be the world's most powerful wizard.
Ooh, come off it, man. Gadzooks.
All right. I shall demonstrate. Figatus,
he waves his wand and forms a cloud over the man's head.
Snow, swirl and blow!
The man hugs himself as snow covers him.
And that is what I call a wizard blizzard.
Hey, Kay, hey, would you look at this? An indoor blizzard, and in the month of July.
So what?
Kay gnaws a bone.
All right, Marvin, turn her off. I'm convinced.
Alakazam!
As the snow stops, the big man shakes it off.
I hope you don't go in for any of that black magic.
Oh, no. Never touch the stuff. No. My magic is used mainly for educational purposes.
He beckons his satchel. It hops over and he sits on it.
In fact, that is why I am here. I have come to educate the wart.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm running this place, and if you think you're gonna fiddle with my schedule, you'd better pack up your bag of tricks and be gone.
Merlin disappears in a puff of sparkly smoke. Well, the man gapes at Kay.
Kay, he's gone.
Oh, good riddance.
I'm gone, but then I'm not gone. So if I do leave, you can never be sure that I am gone, can you?
The man looks around.
Well, I must say, you got me there, Marvin.
Merlin reappears behind him.
You're welcome to stay, if you like.
Thank you. You're very kind. Very generous, I must say.
Well, all we can offer is room and board. Hard times, you know, Marvin. We'll put you up in the Northwest Tower. That's the guest room. It's a bit drafty in the winter, but in this blazing hot weather, it's the best room in the house.
Oh, yes. Very lovely indeed.
So just make yourself at home, Marvin.
Marvin.
As Merlin climbs the stairs to a rickety stone tower, Archimedes flies after him. Later, the dilapidated tower tilts against a rain-streaked sky. Through holes in the roof, an open umbrella appears, then another. Inside, Merlin stands on a chair, shoving another umbrella up through a hole.
Best room in the house.
Drips fill buckets.
Guest room? Unwelcome guest room. But if he thinks that he can get rid of me, I got news for that old walrus. I am sticking it out.
And I say we go back to the woods.
No, not on your life. That boy's got to have an education. He has a future.
Well, you may be right. A skinny kid like that would make a crack in good chimney sweep.
Gushing water drenches the owl.
Something tells me that you're all wet, Archimedes.
Merlin goes to the window. Below, a man on horseback stops at the castle moat and blows a horn. A guard peers down from a wall.
Who goes there?
Pelinor! It's Pelinor, dash it all! I've got big news from London! Big news! Come on, man! Drop the bridge!
A massive wooden gate on the front of the castle lowers, forming a bridge across the moat. It lands heavily, shaking the castle. At a window, Merlin holds on as the tower sways.
Oh, big news, eh? I can't wait for the London Times. First edition won't be out for at least 1,200 years. Archimedes, would you mind sailing down there
Not interested.
Merlin sticks his wand in the birdhouse.
Come now, you're as wet as you can get.
No! No.
Archimedes, I'll turn you into a human.
You wouldn't dare.
I will, so help me, I will.
Well, all right.
The owl leaves his sodden house and flies off.
Works every time. Just like magic.
Archimedes soars through a window lit with an amber glow, then settles on the antlers of a mounted deer head as Pelinor enters the room, dripping. The big man leaps up from his dinner table.
Pelinor!
The thin old man with a bushy mustache whips Pelinor. Off his cape.
Greetings, old boy! And what's all the noise about London,
Big news, really big news.
Sit down, man, and let's hear all about it.
They're having a big tournament, New Year's Day.
Oh, that's not news, dash it all. They always do.
Yeah, but Hector, here's where all the excitement comes in.
Hector swigs from a mug.
To the winner of this tournament goes the crown.
Hector spits all over Pelinor.
You mean he'll be king of all England?
King of all England.
Hector turns to Kay.
Kay, lad, did you hear that?
Pretty fair prize, I'd say.
Yes, and you could win it, boy, if you'd knuckle down to your training. We'll have you knighted by Christmas and off to London. What do you say?
Sure. Why not?
Arthur carries dishes.
What, lad? How'd you like to go to London?
Oh, Sir Hector, you mean it?
If you stick to your duties, you can be Kay's squire.
Oh, I will, sir, I will.
He falls down the stairs.
I don't want the wart for my squire.
Here's to London, and here's to Kay, and here's to the banner of the Castle of the Forest Swabbies. Cheers!
Yes, cheers!
As lightning scissors across the dark sky, Archimedes flies back up to the tilting tower. Daybreak, sun paints the quiet castle grounds a rosy hue. Scowling, Hector holds a hand to his mouth.
Charge! Wait for it!
At a wild gallop, a horse carries an armored man who wields a lance. Cranking a lever, Arthur rocks a life-sized model of a knight on a horse. As the rider rams the model, the dummy's lance launches him. He soars across the courtyard and hits Merlin's tower, which sways and loses stones from its walls. Inside, Merlin sits up in bed.
Archimedes! Archimedes, where are we?
In a tumble-down old tower, in the most miserable old castle in all Christendom, that's where.
Castle?
Don't you even remember the boy?
The boy?
Can't you remember one blasted thing?
Oh, now, just a moment.
Tight grip on the lance.
Merlin looks out the window.
Loosen the saddle. Knees in tight. Weight forward and stay on target.
Hector hoists his big son with dented armor back onto the horse. Pelinor brings Kay his helmet.
It's not a mere matter of muscle, son. Jousting is a fine skill. It's a highly developed science.
Merlin watches Arthur put the model back together.
One dummy trying to knock off another dummy with a bit of a stick.
And the wart's just as hot for it as the rest of them.
He certainly is. That boy's got real spark. Lots of spirit. Throws himself heart and soul in everything he does. And that's rarely worth something if it can only be turned in the right direction.
Fat chance of that.
I plan to cheat, of course. Use magic. Every last trick in the trade, if I have to.
On a sunny day beyond the castle wall, Arthur walks with Merlin, strolling along the still water of the moat. Archimedes rides on the wizard's hat. Arthur carries a stick.
I'd give anything to go riding about on a great white charger, slaying dragons and griffins and maddening giants.
Well, won't you?
Oh, no, you see, I'm an orphan, and a knight must be of proper birth. I only hope I'm worthy to be Kay's squire. That's a big job, too, you know.
No, indeed, yes, yes. I would say almost impossible. Yes. Well, now, lad, when I said that I could swim like a fish, I really meant as a fish.
You mean you can turn yourself into a fish?
Arthur eyes the water.
After all, I happen to be a wizard.
Could you turn me into a fish?
But do you have any imagination? Can you imagine yourself as a fish?
Oh, that's easy. I've done that lots of times.
Oh, well, good. Then I think that my magic can do the rest.
He arches his bushy white brows, then pokes the owl with his wand.
Archimedes, what is that fish formula?
The owl wakes up.
Who? What? You know, that Latin business.
Fish? Latin? Aquarius, Aquaticus, Aqualitas. And now, if you don't mind, I say good day to the both of you.
He rests on a branch.
When he stays out all night, he's always grumpy the next morning.
Then he must stay out every night.
Yes, he's a... Oh. Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, I say, that's very good, boy. Very... Oh,
ho, ho, ho. Who? What?
All right, boy. All set. Here we go. Aquarius, Aquaticus, Aqualitas, quum. Aquadigitonio!
A sparkling cloud swirls around Arthur and he disappears.
Merlin, am I a fish?
An orange fish hops on the ground.
Yes, you are a fish. But if you don't stop that flippity-flopping around and get in the water, you won't last long.
Merlin cups Arthur, then drops him in the water.
Now stay right here in the tules, and I'll be with you in a minute.
Underwater, Arthur the fish drops to the bottom of the moat, then drifts upside down. He moves his fins and rights himself, then smiles and turns a somersault. He scowls and pitches headfirst into the mud. A blue fish wearing round glasses joins him.
So, you thought you could take right off like a shot, did you?
Merlin the fish takes Arthur's tail in his mouth and tugs him out of the mud.
Well, I am a fish, aren't I?
You merely look like a fish. That doesn't mean that you can swim like one. You don't have the instinct.
So you'll have to use your brain for a change. You are living between two planes now, somewhere between the ceiling and the floor.
Smiling, Arthur swims with a red bug.
Now, lots of ups and downs, like a helicopter.
Helicopter?
Yes. Oh, no, never mind. Every flick of a fin creates movement. So first we'll start with a caudal fin.
Merlin flicks his tail. Arthur wags his side fin.
No, boy, your tail.
Arthur shakes his tail and propels into Merlin.
Now that gives you the forward thrust. Now, come on, let's get a rhythm. Right.
Arthur swishes his tail in time with Merlin. A frog swims with them.
Left and right, like day and night. That's what makes the world go round. In and out, thin and stout. That's what makes the world go round. For every up, there is a down. For every square,
there is a round?
Yes. For every high,
there is a low?
Uh-huh. And for every two,
there is a
fro.
Fro.
Yes, fro. To and fro, stop and go. That's what makes the world go round.
Arthur eats a bug.
Out, thin and stout.
Merlin!
Oh.
Merlin, I swallowed a bug.
Oh, what's wrong with that? After all, my boy, you are a fish. Instinct, you know.
But you said I had no instinct.
Yes. Oh, I did. Well, that's neither here nor there. The main thing is, you must set your sights upon the heights. Don't be a mediocrity.
Mediocrity?
That's right. Don't just wait and trust to fate and say that's how it's meant to be. It's up to you how far you go. If you don't try, you'll never know. And so, my lad, as I've explained, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Merlin darts into a gap between stones and Arthur follows. Underwater plants in shades of blue and green form a grassy screen as they swim on. In a clearing, Merlin circles his student.
Let's swim through that tall grass again. It tickles us.
They re-enter the thicket of underwater plants and swim together. Merlin bumps into a larger purple fish.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Me too.
For every do, there is a fro. For every stop, there is a go. And that's what makes the world go round.
The frog tugs his tail and he falls into a mug littering the floor of the moat.
Oh, you big bug-eyed bully, you!
Who, me? Oh, here now, boy. There's no sense in going around insulting bullfrogs. A fish has plenty of other problems without that. The water world has its forests and its jungles, too. So it has its tigers and its wolves.
A big fish, muddy green with spiky teeth, drifts out of the weeds and stalks them.
You see, my boy, it's nature's way. Upon the weak, the strong ones prey. In human life, it's also true. The strong will try to conquer you.
Ooh.
And that is what you must expect. Unless you use your intellect, brain.
As the frog kicks Arthur, he twirls and spots the big fish.
Jehoshaphat!
Merlin bites the predator's tail. The big fish snaps its jaws, just missing Arthur. Merlin tumbles and lands inside a helmet dumped on the floor of the moat.
Quick, Merlin, the magic!
No, you're on your own, lad. Now's your chance to prove my point.
What point?
He's the brawn and you're the brain. Don't panic. You use your head. Outsmart the big brute.
Arthur zips through a chain and the big fish rams it.
Smart move, lad. That's using the old intellect.
Arthur peeks out from behind a sunken wooden post as the big fish flails and frees its snout from the chain. With a fierce scowl, the big fish drifts toward the post. Arthur darts out and gapes, then rushes back behind the post. He glances around, his brow knit with concern. Banged-up weapons and armor litter the floor of the moat, a shield, arrows, and a quiver. Arthur grabs a broken arrow in his mouth and peers around the post. The big toothy fish drifts among the plants. Arthur swims around the post and spots some air bubbles. He turns around and sees the golden yellow eyeball of the big fish as it glares at him. Arthur jams open its gaping mouth with his arrow.
Bravo, boy! Great strategy!
Is the lesson about over?
Did you get the point?
Yes, brain over bra!
Okay, lad, I'll fix the big brute. Higgledy-piggledy...
The big fish opens its mouth as it cruises after Arthur. They leap out of the water, and the big fish snaps its jaws but misses. Archimedes wakes up as the big fish lunges after Arthur again. Arthur splashes onto the castle wall, then tumbles. As he drops toward the big fish, Archimedes straddles the gaping mouth to keep it from snapping shut. All three plummet back into the moat. Underwater, the owl flaps and rises to the surface. Arthur arcs through the air above Archimedes, followed by the big fish, whose tail drags the bird under again. Archimedes hops onto the back of the big fish and slides back to the tail as it raises and snaps at Arthur. Archimedes squints with effort as he shimmies up to the snout. The big fish leaps out of the water, snapping at Arthur, and the owl wraps his wings around the fish's jaws. Grabbing Arthur in his beak, the owl flails across the water. The big fish lunges again, then rams into a rock. On shore, Archimedes slams into a tree. Merlin surfaces as a bearded man wearing the helmet.
What in thunder is a monster like that doing in the moat?
He pulls off the helmet and puts on his hat.
I'll turn him into a minnow.
Merlin!
There you are, boy.
He points his wand and Arthur turns back into a boy.
How in the world did you ever get out of that mess?
That big fish almost swallowed me, and Archimedes, he saved me.
As Merlin picks up Archimedes, water pours from the drenched bird.
I did nothing of the sort. I intended to eat him. Young perch is my favorite dish. You know that.
Do you believe that, Wart?
Well, I...
What?
Oh, I've got to go. Thank you, Merlin. It was so much fun. And Archimedes, I...
Pin feathers, boy.
What?
Where are you, Wart?
He runs to the gate.
Now, Archimedes, why would you half drown yourself for a tidbit of fish? And after such a big breakfast?
In the courtyard, Arthur eyes Hector and Kay, who wears a dented helmet.
We were doing fine until we got in deep water. Then along comes this huge pike with big jaws and sharp, jagged teeth.
Oh, turn him off, Dad.
He was a monster, the biggest fish I ever saw.
And boy, that's the biggest fish story I ever heard.
But it's true, sir.
That's 3 demerits for being late and 3 more for the fish story. Now hop into the kitchen.
I told you the wart was loony.
Yes, well, he's either out of his head or there's something mighty fishy going on around here.
Arthur cleans a kettle in a kitchen.
For every high, there is a low. For every 2, there is a fro. To and fro, stop and go. That's what makes the world go round.
Merlin taps his wand.
Oh, it's you, Merlin, sir.
Yes, my lad. Now, have you ever considered being a squirrel?
Well, no, I don't suppose.
There is a tiny creature with enormous problems. How he has survived throughout the ages is one of nature's big mysteries. His life is hazardous, downright dangerous. Would you like to try it?
Oh, no, I'd better not.
It's too dangerous for you, eh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's not that. It's just that I've got 6 demerits. All this work to do.
Pots and dishes surround them.
What a medieval muddle. We'll have to modernize it. Start an assembly line system.
He gestures like a conductor.
All right, now.
1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4.
Dishes stack themselves into piles. A water barrel shimmies, stirring up bubbles. As Merlin waves his hand, dishes float toward it. Scrubbing brushes hang in the air, cleaning off each dish.
But I'm supposed to do it.
No one will know the difference, son. Who cares as long as the work gets done?
fireplace bellows open and close, air drying each dish.
Rubbity, scrubbity, sweepity, flow.
Brooms dance along the floor, mops slosh in buckets.
Come on, son. Let's go, let's go.
Arthur follows Merlin out of the kitchen. Dishes, brooms, and mops move in rhythm around the bouncing barrel of suds as it churns out bubbles. In the forest, a broad-trunked tree stands tall in a sun-dappled glade.
What? What? Well, now, take it easy, boy.
Arthur, as a brown squirrel runs on a high branch, he jumps onto a limb that breaks off.
Whoa, what? Whoa!
He grabs another branch.
Always look before you leap.
Well, I made it, didn't I?
Merlin's a blue squirrel.
Yes, you made it. But you can't always trust to luck, boy. Now, first, you start with the short jumps. Gauge the distance carefully, and...
He slips, and Arthur pulls him up.
Now, there, you see? Even then you can miss. So, don't take gravity too lightly, or it'll catch up with you.
What's gravity?
Gravity is what causes you to fall.
Oh, like a stumble or a trip?
Yes, it's like a stumble or a... No. It's the force that pulls you downward.
The phenomenon that any two material particles or bodies, if free to move, will be accelerated toward each other.
Arthur stops scampering and faces a red squirrel with big eyes and a pleasant smile. Wide-eyed, he stares back, then tries to run around, but the other squirrel playfully blocks him.
Merlin, how will we get by?
I suppose we better go back to a sidetrack.
The red squirrel follows them down the branch.
Go on. You've got lots of room.
The red squirrel moves closer and nuzzles his cheek.
I guess she can't be sidetracked. That's a girl squirrel, lad, and a redhead at that.
She pushes on Arthur's nose, then holds his paws on her nose. Delighted, she twirls and runs down the branch, then returns. She picks up his paws again.
She sure acts funny.
Yeah, she likes you.
Why?
He hides behind Merlin.
Yes, well, that's nature again. But I'm afraid there's no time to explain. Yeah, now you better leave me out of it.
Merlin leaves as they tussle.
Yeah, me too.
As he leaves, she tugs him back.
Merlin!
You're on your own, lad. I'm afraid magic can't solve this problem.
Look, I'm not a boy. I mean, I'm not a squirrel. I'm a boy. A human boy, not a real squirrel.
She holds his face and kisses him.
Leave me alone. Merlin, what'll I do? She won't leave me alone. Oh!
She knocks him down.
Well, I'm afraid you're stuck, lad. Well, when a girl squirrel chooses a mate, it's for life.
But I won't be a squirrel tomorrow.
She doesn't know that. She only knows one simple fact, that you're a him and she's a her. It's a natural phenomenon.
Phenomenon? No?
Well, it's the...
Merlin shows her Arthur's hiding spot.
It's a state of being, a frame of mind. It's a most befuddling thing. And to every being of every kind, it is discombobulating. You're wasting time resisting. You'll find the more you do, the more she'll keep insisting. Her him has got to be you.
Now leave me alone. I mean it.
It's a rough game, anyone knows.
Go away.
She chases him up a tree.
There are no rules, anything goes. There's no logical explanation for this discombobulation. It's a most befuddling thing.
The wolf waits with his mouth open. Arthur leaps into the air, then lands on Archimedes.
What? Now go on, shoo, get a tree of your own, skedaddle.
Arthur backs away and lands in a red bird's nest. The bird chases him to a knot hole in the tree, then bites his furry tail. He escapes and peeks back out of the hole. As the bird leaves, Arthur stands up and looks around. Next to him in the cave-like hole, the red squirrel pops up. Arthur runs down the branch, but she catches him by the tail. He frees himself and falls in the redbird's nest again and bumps into Archimedes.
Oh, you squirrely squirrels!
Merlin watches them race on.
She's gaining on you, Wart.
A plump red squirrel approaches Merlin.
There's no sensible explanation for this discombobulation. It's a most hodgepodgeical, most illogical, most confusing, most bamboozling, most bemuddling, most befuddling.
The plump squirrel squeezes his cheek and caresses him with her tail.
Really? Now, Miss, madam, you've made a mistake.
She grabs his tail and shakes him.
You. No, madam! Madam! Now, look here. I am not a boy. I'm not a squirrel. I'm a boy.
She tickles his belly.
No, I'm in stupid old. No! I'm an old man. An old human.
She hugs him.
Understand?
He wipes off her kiss.
Don't hang it all. Now, go away. Shoo.
He pushes her away. Smiling coyly, she shoves him back and he slams into the tree trunk.
Impossible. Impossible.
He strides off and she grabs his tail.
Confound it. Confound it all.
Arthur joins them.
Merlin, I'm tired of being a squirrel. It's nothing but trouble.
Oh, you've got trouble. Look at my... look back there.
She holds his tail like a hat feather, then follows Merlin, knocking Arthur to a branch where he hangs by his paws.
Help! Merlin! Help!
The dead branch starts to break away as Arthur scrambles onto it. The little red squirrel spots the wolf circling below Arthur. Racing to a branch just above Arthur, she reaches down and grabs his paw, but it slips through her grasp. He plummets and the dead branch lands on the wolf. Arthur tries to run with his tail stuck in the branch. As the wolf puts his big paw on the stick and licks his lips, the red squirrel gnaws on his leg. He snaps at her and she takes off. The wolf races after her and they leap off a cliff. Mid-air, she jumps off his back and grabs a branch. The wolf tumbles down a cliffside and splashes into water. A hollow log lands on him. He disappears inside it, then pokes his head out of the top, tips over, and floats downstream. The red squirrel glares down at him, then runs back to Arthur and bowls him over with a hug. On a branch, Merlin yanks his tail away from the plump squirrel and falls to the forest floor.
I've had enough of this nonsense. Alakazam!
He returns to human form. The plump squirrel there. Gapes.
You see, I'm an ugly, horrible, grouchy old man.
She runs up a tree and glares down at him. As Merlin barks, she climbs higher.
Merlin!
He finds the young squirrels cuddling.
So here we are.
Quick, Merlin, the magic.
Snick, snack, snorum.
Arthur appears as a boy again.
There, now you see, I'm not a squirrel, I'm a boy. I tried to tell you, I'm a boy, a human boy.
She flees to a branch.
If you could only understand.
She runs higher, then disappears into a hole in the tree.
You know, lad, that love business is a powerful thing.
Tears spill from the squirrel's eyes as she watches them go.
Greater than gravity?
Well, yes, boy, in its way, I'd say it's the greatest force on Earth.
She stares after them from the top of a dead tree. At the castle, a woman runs into the courtyard. Hector and Kay practice swordplay.
Hector! The kitchen!
Hold it, son!
Hector stops, but Kay clobbers his father's helmet.
Hold on, I say!
Hector whacks Kay's helmet and knocks him down.
Now, what's all the commotion,
Oh, the kitchen! It's under an evil spell!
It's bewitched.
No, I bet it's that old goat, Marvin. Come on, son. I knew he'd give us trouble.
Kay tugs off his dented helmet. Sword drawn, Ector walks downstairs to the kitchen.
Dad, shoot!
The sudsy dance continues.
Black magic of the worst kind! Come on, Kay! To the attack!
Ector raises his sword and whacks Kay by mistake, then swings it as he walks, breaking pots and plates that float toward the barrel of suds.
Hold it!
The bellows squirt water in his face as pots and buckets clobber him in the head. He shoves them back, but a skillet breaks his sword and he falls in the barrel.
Heaven preserve us!
Scrub brushes wash his face as he flails in the sudsy water. A dirty skillet pounds his head. Kay swings his sword at a dancing mop that flips midair and pokes him in the nose. A broom swats him from behind. The sudsy mop wraps up his face and drags him to the floor where he dips his head in a bucket and wipes the stone tile. Merlin and Arthur enter.
Now what have we here?
Jumping hot toads!
The commotion stops, leaving Ector sitting in a barrel of suds.
There you are, you old goat. Well, what's the idea of flinging your evil spells all over the place? Oh, lend me a hand, boy.
Kay helps him up and falls in.
Well, what have you got to say for yourself, hmm?
Do you call washing dishes and sweeping floors a work of evil?
I'll decide what's right and wrong around here. Besides, that's the wart's job, one of his duties. And look here, boy. If you want to make that trip to London, you'd better toe the mark.
You old goat! If I ever catch you in my kitchen again, I'll...
Madam, you won't.
Merlin disappears.
Oh, dear. He's gone.
Well, by Jove.
We ought to run the old geezer right out of the castle.
No, okay, no. He might cast an evil spell on the lot of us, turn us all to stone. Shh. No, there's no telling what the old devil might do.
He's not an old devil. He's good, and his magic is good, too. If you just leave it alone.
Oh, now, look here, Wart. That's three more demerits.
Box his ears, Dad.
Just because you can't understand something, it doesn't mean it's wrong.
10 more demerits.
You make all the rules and nobody else can say anything.
You've said it plenty, boy. All that popping off just cooked your goose, okay? From now on, young Hobbs is your squire. Huh? Did you hear that, Wart? Hobbs is going to be Kay's squire.
Yes, sir.
Now that'll teach you to pop off, your little pipsqueak.
Kay cuts a mop in two. Later, Arthur sits alone on the kitchen floor surrounded by broken dishes. Sparkles appear, then Merlin's hat and glasses, then Merlin himself.
I'm sorry, lad. I'm sorry I spoiled everything. I know their trip to London meant a great deal to you.
Oh, it's not your fault. I shouldn't have popped off. Now I'm really done for.
No, you're in a great spot, boy. You can't go down now. It can only be up from here.
I'd like to know how.
Use your head. An education, lad.
What good will that do?
Get it first, and who knows? Are you willing to try?
Well, what have I got to lose?
That's the spirit. We'll start tomorrow. We'll show 'em, won't we, boy?
We sure will.
A map shows a flat earth.
Now, first of all, lad, we've got to get all these medieval ideas out of your head. Clear the way for new ideas. Knowledge of man's fabulous discoveries in the centuries ahead. Now, that'll be a great advantage, boy.
Advantage indeed. If the boy goes about saying the world is round, they'll take him for a lunatic.
The world is round?
Yes, that's right. And it also goes around.
Merlin spins a globe as Archimedes sits on top.
You mean it'll be round someday?
No, it's round now. Man will discover this in centuries to come. And he will also find that the world is merely a tiny speck in the universe.
Universe?
You're only confusing the boy. Before you're through, he'll be so mixed up, he'll be wearing his shoes on his head. Man has always learned from the past. After all, you can't learn history in reverse. It's confusing enough, for heaven's sakes.
All right. Have it your way, Archimedes. You're in charge. You're the headmaster now. So from now on, he's your pupil.
So, from now on, boy, you do as I say.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, to start off, I want you to read these books.
All of them?
That, my boy, is a mountain of knowledge.
But I can't read.
What? And I don't suppose you know how to write?
No, sir.
Well, what do you know?
Well, never mind.
We'll start at the bottom. The ABCs.
At a chalkboard.
First the A, and now the B, loop and around, and there's the C.
Merlin, look, I can write.
Oh, yes. That's very good, boy, very good.
Hinge scratch, that's all. Hinge scratch. Now, come on. D, E, F, and now the G.
Arthur draws it wrong.
It's as simple as... No, boy. Now, use your head, will you? How do you ever expect to learn anything?
Archimedes, have you seen that flying machine model?
I have nothing to do with your futuristic fiddle faddle, you know that.
Arthur What's points that at a model there? Airplane.
Hmm? Oh, yes, of course. Here we are.
You mean man will fly in one of those someday?
If man were meant to fly, he'd have been born with wings.
I am about to prove otherwise, Archimedes, if you care to watch.
Running, Merlin crashes into the window, then drops the plane. His beard unspools from around the propeller, and the plane nosedives.
Man'll fly, all right. Just like a rock.
It crashes into the moat.
It would have worked if it weren't for this infernal beard.
He flaps his beard at the owl and stalks off. Archimedes drops onto his back and kicks his feet.
Man will fly someday, I tell you. I have been there. I have seen it.
Oh, I do hope so. I've always dreamed about flying, that I was a bird and that I could go sailing all over the sky, high above everything.
Merlin waves his wand over Arthur's head, turning him into a bird.
It's my favorite dream. Oh, but then I suppose everybody dreams about flying. I'm a bird.
He rises up.
Hold it, boy. Not so fast. First, I'd better explain the mechanics of a bird's wing.
He tugs the owl's wing.
These large feathers are called the primaries.
Since when do you know all about bird's wings?
I have made an extensive study of birds in flight, and I...
And if you don't mind, I happen to be a bird.
All right, Mr. Know-it-all. He's your pupil.
Ouch.
Now, boy, flying is not merely some crude mechanical process. It is a delicate art, purely aesthetic, poetry of motion. And the best way to learn it is to do it. Now, since we're pretty far up, we'll start with a glide. Spread your wings way out. That's it. Now fan your tail.
Arthur practices on the windowsill.
Tippity-toe, and off we go.
They dive from the tower.
Now, tuck your feet under, like me. That's it. That's the idea.
Arthur glides and smiles, then loses his balance.
Oh, and don't fight the air currents. Use them.
Arthur floats up to Archimedes, then soars above him. He flaps and twirls, then plummets down to a field of dandelions. He flies close, scattering the seeds, then cruises back up.
Well, say, boy, that's pretty good. Well, boy, you're a natural. Are you sure this is the first time that you...
A big bird hovers.
What? Hawk! Look out, boy! Heads up!
Arthur dives toward the field, passing Archimedes.
Archimedes, help!
Talons extended, the hawk closes in. Archimedes bites the hawk's tail feathers, and Arthur flies into the forest. Arthur soars deeper into the dark forest toward a small cottage with a pointy roof shaped like a witch's hat. He lands on the chimney. As he catches his breath, the hawk dives, knocking him into the chimney.
Whoa, what? Oh!
Black with soot, Arthur lands in a fireplace. At a table, a purple-haired woman with a pointy nose plays cards.
Sounds like someone's sick. How lovely. I do hope it's serious. Something dreadful. Oh, bat gizzards. It's nothing but a scrawny little sparrow with a beak full of soot.
Oh, I'm not really a sparrow. I'm a boy.
A boy?
Merlin changed me with his magic. He's the world's most powerful wizard.
Merlin? Ho-ho! Merlin, the world's most powerful bungler. Why, boy, I've got more magic in one little finger.
She dances.
Now, don't tell me you've never heard of the marvelous Madame Mim.
Well, no, I don't guess so.
Madame Mim?
Archimedes flies off.
Good heavens, good heavens.
Why, boy, I'm the greatest. I'm truly marvelous. With only a touch, I have the power, zim, zabrim, bim, to wither a flower. I find delight in the gruesome and grim.
Oh, that's terrible.
Thank you, my boy, but that's nothing, nothing for me. Oh, because I'm the magnificent, marvelous Mad Madam Mim. You know what? I can even change size. I can be huge. Oh, fill the whole house.
She grows to the rafters, then shrinks.
Teeny, small as a mouse, black sorcery is my dish of tea. It comes easy to me, because I'm the magnificent, marvelous Mad Madam Mim.
She flies around with a broom.
Marvelous boy! Marvelous!
She returns to her normal size in a green puff of smoke.
Say, lad, did you know that I can make myself uglier yet?
Well, that would be some trick, or,
Want a bet?
She parts her hair, revealing a pig's face.
You see? I win! Aren't I hideous, boy? Perfectly revolting?
Well, yes, ma'am.
But you ain't seen nothing yet.
She pushes her pig's down and becomes a younger woman.
I can be beautiful, lovely, and fair. Silvery voice! Long purple hair, la 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 la.
Arthur's
la,
beak la, hangs la, open la, as she sways her hips. La, she strokes la, him la, under la, his chin.
La 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 la. But it's only skin deep.
She pulls her hair and returns to herself.
I'm an ugly old creep. The magnificent, marvelous, mad, Madam Mim. Now, what do you think, boy? Who's the greatest?
Well, Merlin's magic is always, useful for something good.
And he must see something good in you.
Oh, I suppose so.
Yes, and in my book, that's bad. So, my boy, I'm afraid I'll have to destroy you.
Destroy me?
Yeah, I'll give you a sporting chance.
She climbs onto the table and transforms into a big pink cat.
Well,
Arthur
on,
shakes in
get
fear.
Going, boy. You gotta keep on your toes in this game. Oh!
She pounces and he flies away. Lunging after him, she knocks over a cabinet. She tugs his tail feathers, launching him beak first into the bullseye on a dartboard.
Oh, I win. Oh, the game's over.
He pets her.
Why, you little devil, you! I'll wring your scrawny little...
Sparkle, swirl, and Merlin appears.
Mim! What are you up to?
Oh, Merlin, well, you're just in time. We were playing a little game.
She was going to destroy me.
And just what are you going to do about it? Want to fight? Want to have a wizard's duel?
She slaps him.
As you wish, madam.
Well, come on. Step outside.
After you, madam.
She marches outside and Merlin follows her. As they stride into the forest, Arthur flies overhead. Archimedes lands next to Arthur on a branch.
What's up, boy? What's going on?
They're having a wizard's duel. What's that mean?
Oh, it's a battle of wits. The players change themselves to different things in an attempt to destroy one another.
Destroy?
But just watch, boy. Just watch. You'll get the idea.
Mim turns to face him, then tosses aside his beard.
Now, first of all,
If you don't mind, I'll make the rules.
Rules indeed. Why, she only wants rules so she can break them.
I'll take care of you later, feather brain. Rule one, no mineral or vegetable. Only animal. Rule two, no make-believe things like pink dragons and stuff. Now, rule three, no disappearing.
Rule four, no cheating.
All right, all right. Now, pace off 10.
As he steps away, she disappears.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Merlin, she disappeared.
Huh? Ma'am, now you made the rules.
A towering pink crocodile appears behind him and he disappears. She bites his head, then reaches in and pulls out a turtle. It bites her and she tosses it. The bespectacled turtle lands shell down and Mim licks her crocodile lips.
Change to something else, Merlin.
Yes. Give me time to think.
Chasing him, she grins as he lumbers in his shell.
Quick, Merlin, hurry!
Merlin turns into a rabbit. Mim bites his tail.
Here now, madam, just a minute. This is...
As he tugs on the tail, she transforms into a fox. He takes off and she pursues.
Something smaller!
She chases him into a hollow log. A caterpillar with glasses sneaks out of a hole.
Merlin! No disappearing!
She sees him.
Oh!
He inches up the branch and she emerges from the log as a chicken. She jumps and snatches him in her beak. Merlin clings to the branch, stretching as she pulls him down. She lets go and the springy branch flings him high into the air. As she dances underneath him, he transforms into a walrus and lands on her.
Mim? Mim?
Parked on her back, he rises as she grows herself into an elephant.
You big blimp!
He becomes a tiny mouse. She runs off in fear. As he's chasing her, he stops short. She chases him as a tiger.
Wash me, will you?
He dives in a hole and she lands on it. Popping out of another hole, he runs to bite her tail.
Merlin.
She looms above him as a rattlesnake. He slams her tail end into her face. She chases Merlin down one hole, but he pops out another.
Just wait, you're gonna pay.
He rolls a rock on her head as she pokes it up. Merlin becomes a crab and she ducks his pinching claw. She bobs up and down as he pinches and misses. He grabs a pink horn as it rises from the ground. She erupts out of the hole as a rhino. Merlin hangs on.
So you want to play rough, do you? All right, Merlin. I'll smash you good, you old crab.
She charges into a tree and gets stuck.
Here I come, him. Ready or not?
He transforms into a billy goat and rams her. She topples off a cliff into a swamp. Merlin's smile fades. Mim rises up as a purple dragon. Flames swirl around her. Merlin backs away.
Now, Mim, no dragons, remember?
Did I say no purple dragons? Did I?
She shoots flames at him and he takes off. Transforming into a mouse, he dives down a hole. Mim blows a stream of fire down the hole and flames blast Merlin out of another hole. As he blows out his tail, she claps her claws around him.
I win! I win!
Oh, that horrible old witch! I'll pick her eyes out!
No,
She opens her claws and Merlin's gone.
He's gone! Disappeared!
Madam, I have not disappeared. I am very tiny. I'm a germ, a rare disease. I'm called Malagaletomopterosis. And you caught me, Mim!
What?
First, you break out into spots.
Red spots cover her pale gray body.
Followed by hot and cold flashes. Then violent sneezing.
She sneezes fire, just missing Arthur and Archimedes.
What you doing?
You sneaky old scoundrel!
Later, in human form, Mim lies in bed covered in spots.
Oh, it's not too serious, madam. You should recover in a few weeks and be as good I mean, as bad as ever, but I would suggest plenty of rest and lots of sunshine.
I hate sunshine. I hate horrible, wholesome sunshine.
Merlin walks outside. Archimedes and Arthur fly after him and perch on his hat.
You were really great, Merlin. But you could have been killed.
It was worth it, lad, if you learned something from it.
Knowledge and wisdom is the real power.
Right you are, Wart, so stick to your schooling, boy.
Oh, don't worry, I will, sir. I will. Oh, I really will.
On a winter's day, a gentle snow falls on the castle. Warm light spills out of a high-arched window. Inside at a feast, Arthur watches Ector raise a glass with Pellinor while Kay smiles at the head of the table.
Very good.
Here's to victory in London for my son Kay!
Sir Kay, I've been knighted, don't forget.
Oh, of course, son, of course. Here's to Sir Kay. And who knows, the future king of all England!
They crack a glass and spill.
Watch it, will ya?
Kay the king? What a dreadful thought.
Sir Ector! Sir Ector! Hobbs has come down with the mumps! Face all puffed up like a toad!
Then Kay'll need another squire hang it all. What? You're it.
I'm what, sir?
Kay Squire! You're going to London, boy!
Oh, Sir Ector!
He falls downstairs with pots and dishes. Later, he runs to the rickety tower.
Merlin! Archimedes! Merlin!
Wearing a bright red tunic, he throws open a door.
Merlin, look! I'm a squire!
Ha! Merlin and the owl glance at him.
Oh, very nice, boy.
Yes, indeed. A fine monkey suit for polishing boots.
It's what all squires wear.
And I thought you were going to amount to something. I thought you had a few brains.
He kicks over the globe.
Great future. Ha! A stooge for that big lunk K. Congratulations, boy!
What do you want me to be? I'm nobody. You don't know a thing about what's going on today. I'm lucky to be Kay's squire.
Oh, of all the idiotic guys, blow me to Bermuda!
Merlin blasts off and shoots across the sky like a rocket.
Where did he go?
To Bermuda, I suppose.
Where's that?
Oh, an island way off somewhere that hasn't been discovered yet.
Will he ever come back?
Who knows? Who knows anything?
In London, buildings with snowy rooftops line a street strung with banners.
For the crown of all England, let the tournament begin!
A jouster on a white horse with a long red lance rides at a jouster wearing green on a gray horse. The men stare wide-eyed through their helmets. Arthur watches with Kay and Ector as the jousters collide and fall off their mounts.
Okay. Now it's up to the swords.
The men fight with swords.
Swords? Oh, no. Kay.
What?
I forgot your sword.
Forgot my sword?
I left it back at the inn.
Kay swings a pole at him, then trips as Arthur runs off.
You'd better get it, or don't you dare come back.
Archimedes flies after Arthur as he hurries down a snowy street to the inn and tugs on the door.
Let me in! Somebody, please, let me in!
It's no use, boy. They've all gone to the tournament.
Oh, what'll I do? Kay's got to have a sword.
Well, look, boy, look. They're in the churchyard.
A sword? Oh, Archimedes, a sword!
Arthur hops a fence.
You're going to have a time pulling it out.
Arthur grabs the hilt.
Watch it, boy!
Shafts of light beam down on him as he tugs at the sword, stuck point first in the anvil. He lets go and the light fades, reappearing as he touches it again.
Better leave it alone!
But Kay's got to have a sword!
Arthur yanks it out.
Now, come on, quick! Let's get out of here!
He flies ahead of Arthur, who runs with the sword.
You're up next, son. Better get ready.
Kay, here's a sword.
Kay frowns at it.
This is not my sword. Hold on, Kay. Wait a minute.
Hector reads.
Whoso pulleth out this sword? Oh, it's the sword in the stone.
The sword in the stone? It can't be.
But look, it is.
It's the marvelous sword.
Hold everything. Someone's pulled the sword from the stone.
Where did you get it, Wart?
I pulled it out of an anvil that was on a stone in a churchyard.
Oh, very funny.
But the lad's a young Samson.
You're making a fool of us, boy. Now tell the truth.
But I did, sir.
Then come on, prove it. Back to the stone with you.
Yes, prove it!
A crowd follows. In the churchyard, Hector rams the sword back in the anvil on the stone.
All right, boy. Let's have the miracle.
Arthur pulls up his sleeve. As he reaches for the sword, Kay grabs him.
Now, wait a minute. Anyone can pull it once it's been pulled.
Kay tries, but it's stuck.
Go to it, Kay. Give it all you got.
Hector tries to help him, then men in the crowd grab on.
Push him, I say!
Hold on, that's not fair.
I say we let the boy try it.
That's what I say. Give the boy a chance.
Go ahead, son.
Arthur clenches his lips, rests a foot on the stone, and grabs the sword. Light beams down on him. With ease, he pulls out the sword.
It's a miracle, ordained by heaven. This boy is our king.
Well, by Jove.
What's the lad's name?
What? Arthur.
Hail, King Arthur!
Hail, King Arthur! Long live the king!
I can't believe it!
Hector kneels.
Forgive me, son. Forgive me.
Oh, please don't, sir.
Kay, bow down to your king.
Kay kneels and bows to Arthur. In a castle, Arthur wears a crown and sits on a throne.
So at last the miracle had come to pass in that far-off time upon New Year's Day. And the glorious reign of King Arthur was begun.
His crown slips down and he pushes it back up.
I can't be a king, Archimedes. I don't know anything about ruling a country.
I told you to leave the thing in the stone, boy.
I'll run away. That's what I'll do.
He hops off the throne and takes off his crown.
They'll just have to get somebody else.
Better take the side door, Wart. Out the side door.
Arthur runs to the door, dragging a long red robe.
Hail, King Arthur!
He shuts the door.
There's another door. Over there. Come on.
As Arthur opens another door, Archimedes flies outside.
Long live King Arthur!
The owl blows back in.
Looks like we're surrounded, boy.
Oh, Archimedes, I wish Merlin was here.
Arthur glances around the throne room.
Merlin!
A sparkly streak breaks a window and shoots like a comet. Merlin appears in shorts.
Oh, Merlin, you're back from
Bermuda?
Yes, back from Bermuda and the 20th century. And believe me, you can have it. One big modern mess.
He changes into his robe.
I'm in an awful pickle. I'm king.
Ooh, he pulled a sword from the stone.
Ha-ha! Of course. King Arthur and his knights of the Round Table.
Round Table?
Oh, would you rather have a square one?
Oh, no. Round will be fine.
Boy. You'll become a great legend. They'll be writing books about you for centuries to come. Why, they might even make a motion picture about you.
Motion picture?
Oh. That's something like television. Without commercials.
Archimedes lands on the throne and Merlin adjusts Arthur's crown. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by Mike DeBonis.